So I want to start this morning with some trivia. Who knows what the motto of the city of Toledo is? Laborare est orare. To labor, to work is to pray. I didn't know till a couple weeks ago I saw the seal. The seal of the city of Toledo, since 1873, has read Laborare est orare. To work is to pray. I don't know the origin of it. Someone told me last night after Mass that they formed that motto when this became really a union town. And they wanted to sort of emphasize the value of sort of hard work. But it's a sort of reformulation of the classic motto in the Christian tradition, which comes to us through St. Benedict, the founder of monasticism, the founder of monastic life. And in his rule in the 4th century, he writes that the rhythm of not just in a certain sense, the monastic life, but the rhythm of human life should be ora et labora, to pray and to work. The rhythm of the Christian life is ora et labora, to pray and to work. And so both formulations of this, whether it be laborare est orare or ora et labora, make the point that our labor should carry some spiritual significance. That our work has the potential to be spiritually enriching. That it's not like in the Christian tradition, we have God over here and we have work over here. No, there's a way of seeing work and labor as precisely part of God working in us. And so today I want to talk about that briefly through the lens of St. Paul's second reading today, and I'm really not avoiding the first reading in the gospel, but we're going to have plenty of time over the next month as we deal with the end of the liturgical year, the readings, and Advent. The readings all tend to focus on end time things, and so we'll have plenty of time to talk those things. But today I'd like to use St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians to talk about the spirituality of work. Okay, a couple prelude remarks. The first is we have to maintain a firm distinction between work and a job. They're not the same thing. Sometimes we use them interchangeably, right? But work is a much broader category than a job, okay? When the students are diligent about their studies, they're working, right? They're working. It's amazing. They often have a couple jobs on top of that, which always blows my mind. I didn't have to do that in college. When a parent stays at home with their children, like my mom did for all 5 of us, she was working, right? Any stay-at-home parent knows one of the greatest things you can be told that is offensive is you don't have a job. And it's like, okay, but I work. I work. It's hard. Retired people who no longer have a job, but who do an amazing amount of activities. In fact, how many times have you heard a retired person say to you, I am busier in retirement than I was when I had a job. So work is a broader category. It's all sorts of activities that we can perform in society. The second prelude mark is that work has always been seen as part of God's ongoing creative activity in the world. That through labor, through work, we become co-creators of the world with God. So notice in the biblical account, Adam is given a job, he's given work before the fall, right? He's told by God, Adam, to till and to keep the soil. In other words, to be like the groundskeeper of this garden of paradise. So work doesn't come into play only after sin enters the world in the biblical story. Work is actually a part of the very structure of reality that God envisions for human beings. Because God wants to make us, through our work, co-creators of the world with Him. And so this is how we might define the spirituality of work. That work is a participation in the ongoing creation and providence of God in the world. That just as God works with a couple to bring new life into the world, to the extent that we can call the couple co-creators with God in bringing new life into the world, so too in our work, does God work with us to co-create something into the world that was not present before that? That God births into the world through our labor something that's totally new. And so work is not just like, because we're fallen, we have to work. No, no, no. Work was envisioned for human beings as part of the fulfillment of their nature in the biblical story before sin even entered into the picture. That it's part of our nature. That it's part of us sharing in the ongoing providence and creation of God. Now, what does St. Paul say in 2 Thessalonians today? First, we might note that Paul's words here are shaped by some apocalyptic concerns. It does seem that they were concerned that the end of the world was coming soon, Jesus was returning, and it seems that there were people who thought, and this is probably what I would have thought, well, if Jesus is coming soon, I don't need to work. You know, it's just a waste of time, right? That's probably what I would have thought, if I'm honest. And so Paul's words on work here are within a kind of context, right? But I think he says some really important things in a kind of spirituality of work and labor. The first is that work actually helps temper some of our human pitfalls. And two that he mentions are, we might say, our sloth and idleness. Okay, Paul says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. In other words, you got to do some part, right? You can't just receive and never give. That there's got to be something we're offering, bringing to the table. Now, this has been extrapolated into discussions of welfare and all sorts of things. I don't think Paul had any of those things in mind, right? He's dealing with a particular situation. But the principle is that if we want to receive the fruits of others' labor, then we've got to make a contribution ourselves. That we've got to play some part, right? We've got to bring something to the table in our labor. The second thing Paul mentions that work protects us from is idleness, right? And whose grandma told him that idleness is the devil's workshop? Whose grandma told him that? My grandma told me that. In other words, and it makes sense, if you're not doing anything productive, you're probably doing something unproductive. You know, like when we have nothing going on, we often end up doing things that are not very helpful. And so Paul mentions a particular thing. He says, some of you are not busy, but you're intervening in the business of others. You're busybodies. Like, you're going around the office because you're not doing your work, and you're more consumed in the gossip of what's going on in everybody else's work. Does this sound familiar? You know, like, I mean, this doesn't change 2,000 years later. Like, when we're not busy ourselves with work, we intervene in very disruptive ways in the work of others. And so Paul's part of his spirituality of labor is that if we're invested in honest work and engaged in the honest work that we're called to, we will be less prone, right, to fall into any kind of laziness. We will be less prone to fall into a kind of idleness that leads to unproductive behaviors. Paul also cautions against what I'm going to call entitlement. And what I mean by that is that I expect others to give me a quality of something, of work, that I don't provide for them. And it's interesting. Notice, his main credibility, when he's trying to say, like, you should listen to me to the Thessalonians, his main credibility is not that I speak in wonderful words, not that I have this incredible theology, nothing. He says, I labored alongside of you in toil and drudgery. That's his credibility. His credibility is, listen, I'm not some ivory tower theologian who just talks down to you and says, this is what you need to do. I actually lived it with you. I was in solidarity with you. We know from Paul's other letters, he was a tent maker, right? In terms of his job, which was a very important job in the ancient world, a tent maker. And he says, I labored with you. That's how I established my credibility. That anything I asked you to do, I was willing to do myself. And that's an incredible principle in work. Right? Somebody told me that one time. They said, Jeremy, if you're in management, never ask your employees to do something you aren't willing to do yourself. And I can't say I live that perfectly, but that's an incredible ideal that even Paul is holding up in our second reading. That he wanted the Thessalonians to know that precisely because he was willing to do the toil and drudgery of hard work, precisely because he was able to enter into solidarity with them on that, he was credible about speaking of the gospel. The final thing I think we have to be reminded of by St. Paul is that work is in fact sometimes drudgery. Work is not always glorious. Work is toil and drudgery. Every one of us, no matter how great we think our jobs are and our work is. Have parts of it that we disdain. If you don't have a part of your job that you don't like, I'd love to talk to you after Mass. I mean, that sounds like heaven. You work in heaven. You know, like, you don't work at any other place. You work in heaven. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded of this, because I think sometimes we fall into kind of an over-romanticization of work. And we tell young people this. We tell them, try to find your dream job. And it's like people that have worked for a long time know, if you find your dream job, you're really lucky in life. And even if you did, you had to probably work about 12 jobs before that to even get to a place where you could get to a dream job, right? That work is just drudgery sometimes. And I think older generations understood that. Like, in fact, I often talk about with the students that it's a really modern concept that work was the primary locus of meaning in life. It's a really modern idea that personal satisfaction is to be found in work, right? In the past, you found personal satisfaction in God, family, friends, and hobbies. And if your work happened to personally satisfy you, you're really lucky. But for everyone else, work was putting food on the table, making some contribution to society, but you wouldn't necessarily have chosen it. It's just how the chips fell. And sometimes I think we have to have that nuanced, healthy perspective. It's not that we don't pursue jobs and careers that we want, of course. But it is to say that we have to have a sort of a balanced perspective that most jobs involve a ton of drudgery, toil. And so that's a healthy perspective that Paul's giving us on the nature of work. And so, friends, I think it's very easy to see, like, work over here, God over here, but I think our reading today in the Christian tradition challenges us to see the two fused, that there can be a spirituality to work, that our work and our labor and our contribution to society, however menial the task, can actually be an opportunity, right, for us to participate in the ongoing creative power and energy and providence of God. However menial and seemingly trivial and small that task is, it can be an opportunity to share in the creative power of God. Let's try to see our work that way. It's hard, but let's try to see our work as a sharing in God's creative power. And then we can truly live the mottos that have formed our tradition, both Christian and the city of Toledo. Ora et labora, to pray and to work. And laborare est orare, to work is to pray.